go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We ask Your blessing, Father, upon Your word. Lord, we ask for wisdom, Father. And we thank You for Your blessings and Your goodness to us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Help us be faithful to You. Again, we thank You for all that You do. Thank You for Jesus. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend a greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. I'm going to begin reading here in Luke chapter 9, verse 46. It says, an argument started over them, among them, as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, took a child and stood him by his side. And he said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives who sent me, receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you. I want to comment a little bit on that last part, and then I want to go back up to the front part, but it says, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you. The very beginning of this talks about there was an argument to see who was the greatest. And Jesus gave the example of the little child or the one who just gives, receives a child in his name. And he said, if we receive a child in his name, you're receiving me. And so all of this ties together here that they're arguing about who's the greatest, who's the best, and he's saying the best among you is the one who receives a child that comes in my name. And then he goes on and says, but to him, they saw another group, and they were going around casting out devils in Jesus' name. They were doing what the apostles had been commissioned to do. And here there was people doing it. And they said, we tried to stop them. Kind of goes along with the whole, who's the greatest? There's somebody else doing this. There's somebody else doing what's right. And we wouldn't let them. They looked like they were really doing something, and we tried to stop them from doing it. But Jesus said, don't stop them. Anybody who is for you is with you. If they're not against you, they're for you. If they're doing what's right, they're not against you. The problem is today we want to be against everyone. And we think that somehow that makes us holy because we're against everyone. But that's not what Jesus talked about. Jesus said, if there was somebody doing what's right, if they're doing things in my name, they can't do that easily. And I'm not talking about appearing religious. I'm talking about actually doing what is right. And the problem is they will turn against you if they are not for you. If someone's doing what's right and we just receive them, then we're receiving Jesus. If we just reject them when they're doing what's right, we're rejecting Jesus. The heart of what I'm trying to bring out is that we can create a false Christianity and it appears really, really holy. We can make ourselves rejected. We can make ourselves appear like we are separated from everyone else. But Jesus talked about receiving, not being against everyone. He talked about receiving people. And He left the rejection on the other people's part. That's how we know whether they're for us or against us. If they receive us and they accept us, they're for us. If they're against us, they're against us. And Jesus said, the one that receives a child in My name receives Me. A child is not a strong one. He's not the one contending to be the leader. He's the least among them. A child in this time didn't account for much. Nobody listened to children. And yet Jesus said, if you receive a child in My name, you're receiving Me. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Okay. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead. This is after these men had, many of them had been following John, learning from John. And then Jesus came along and John said, don't follow Me, follow Him. And so these men came and they followed Jesus, lived with Him, talked with Him, worked with Him for 3 years, right to the point of death. They were disciples. A disciple is someone who learns. The verses that we read before, they were arguing who would be the greatest among them. And I can just imagine what they were arguing about is who's going to be the teacher. Who's going to be the one doing the teaching? And Jesus brought the child into their midst and said, this guy isn't a teacher. He's a child. No one's going to listen to him. He's a learner. That's what a child is a learner. They proceeded to the designated place, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make learners, disciples, little children of all nations. You know, today everybody's got a Bible, and after someone reads their Bible for 6 months, they start writing notes. They start writing letters. They start writing books. They get on the internet and they start having all kinds of teachings on the internet. Or they want to be a leader. They don't want to be disciples. They want to be leaders. It is so difficult today when you go out and try to preach or try to teach people. And it doesn't matter where you go. Been all over the world just standing with a Bible or standing with a sign trying to preach. And it isn't very long till someone comes up with a Bible and they never want to hear what you have to say. They all want to teach you some little thing that they've learned in the Bible. They want to teach you to make you or anyone a disciple. Everyone is a teacher. Everyone is a teacher. They're all arguing. They're all fighting, trying to decide who's going to be the teacher. But Jesus didn't teach us, and He didn't say, go out and make teachers of all nations. He said, to disciples, He said, go make disciples. Everybody today, as soon as they pick up a Bible, they become the teacher. And when you become the teacher, you miss the whole thing. It may appear to men like you really are something, that you're really great because you can expound or you can teach or you can quote a Bible verse or you can go back through history and give all kinds of reasons or explanations to unknown questions. But you're a teacher instead of a disciple. Until you are a disciple, until you learn to be a disciple, if you become a teacher, you're hitting home runs right over the catcher's head. You're knocking it out of the park right over the catcher's head. That's a foul ball. It doesn't count. You miss it. It's false. There's so much false Christianity today. And right here is a big part of the heart of it. Because no one wants to be a disciple. But from the very beginning, God has His order. The head of the home. The wife. And then the children. They're all under. And everybody wants to be the top dog. Everybody wants to be on top. Starting with the wife. They want to be ahead of the husband. And the children, it isn't long before they think they know more than the parents. And then they grow up and they get a Bible and pretty soon they want to be the teacher and the leader and the preacher. And they missed being a disciple. It don't matter what you know in your head about the Bible. That is all absolute going to be garbage on the judgment day. Whenever the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, it doesn't mean to go cram your head with a bunch of Bible verses. Whenever the Bible talks about assembling yourselves together, it talks about learning to work together, not just coming to church on Sunday, learning to be what you need to be in the place of the body. James says, don't be many masters. Don't be a big teacher. Don't strive for that. Don't strive for that. How many people have fallen? How many people have wrecked, made shipwrecked of their lives, their Christian lives, because they wanted to be a teacher instead of a disciple? Jesus came to make disciples, learners, disciplined ones, submitted ones, someone that's willing to take and hear and listen from someone else, to go to school, to pay their dues, to pay their debts, to learn how to be a disciple. Only then does He pick people then from disciples to be leaders, to be teachers. He doesn't do it the other way around. He doesn't pick the smartest one in the bunch. He doesn't pick the most eloquent one in the bunch. He picks the disciples. Someone that's willing to learn. And it don't matter. This principle Whatever you go in, whatever, be a disciple. The whole thing about the education system today in the world, it's about how to teach you to be a teacher. They program people in school, they fill their heads full of knowledge, and that puffs them all up. And they really think they know something. And they go out into the world with the degree, with the title, but they don't know anything because they've never learned to be a disciple. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. A lot of times we talk about the teachings of Jesus, and that's what He taught. But we can learn the teachings of Jesus and never be a disciple. We can have all the teachings of Jesus. We can just go out and have a little program and say, this is Jesus' teachings. If you just listen to them, you're going to be a super Christian, and then you can go out and just teach others. And they can do all of that. You can learn all the ways that Jesus wanted us to live, the Beatitudes. You can have all of that and not be a disciple. And it's so deceiving. It's so hard to see past. There's so much that passes for Christianity that looks so right and sounds so right. But somewhere along the line, they're out there preventing. They're out there against what Jesus really wanted us to be. And that's just a disciple. A learner. Like a child. Now there's a place. There's a place. Jesus has people that He appoints to be leaders of disciples. The people are put there. They don't just claim it for themselves. They don't put themselves there. That's what the world does. That's what the world is doing. That's what most people who pick up a Bible wind up doing. I've told before that whenever I started following the Bible, I would beg God to send someone to show me what to do. What does this mean? How do I live this out, Lord? And in the circles that I was in, the best I could hope for was the most strict one of the bunch. And so I would go and try to learn from them for a while. I'd go and just sit at their feet. Every chance I would get, I would just go and spend time with them. And pretty soon, they just really didn't have much more than just a little bit of more strictness. And just, Lord, they would tell you, yeah, you need to go out and preach. You go out, you need to do this. Well, go with me. And then they wouldn't go. They just didn't want to go. They would talk all about it, but they just wouldn't do it. So I had to, Lord, send me someone, show me someone that will lead and go out ahead of us and just show me how to do this and show us how to do this. We didn't just get mad and whenever we come to the end of the rope, we didn't just, I'm going to destroy that person because he couldn't teach me, because I felt deceived. I learned, even from these men. And see them 10 years later and visit with them just a little bit and still be able to learn something a little bit from them. Don't just reject them because they can't teach me anymore. That's not the attitude of a disciple. That's the attitude of these people that reject everyone because they're not with us. having all this appearance of being a disciple, but really they're not. There's people trying to create their own crosses. They just go out and they cut off everybody and separate themselves. They cut their family off. Won't have nothing to do with them because they think that's holiness. The opposite of what Jesus was talking about. Whenever Jesus talked about people rejecting you, is not you rejecting them. They're rejecting you after you do all that you can for them. Jesus talked about the taking care of your parents, taking care of your grandparents, the older people, taking care of them. How many people in religious circles have moved off and isolated themselves from their parents because their parents were so wicked? And so they just cut them off and have nothing more to do with them. Leave to taking care of them to somebody else. I don't want nothing to do with you. Opposite of what Jesus taught. But it appears holy. It's false. It's wrong. It's all messed up. All in the name of holiness. All in the name of who's the greatest. I'm going to be the greatest. I can isolate my family. I can put them away. I can turn them out. Boy, I'm something. But whenever you're a disciple, you do all you can for your family. You try as hard as you can for your family. You offer help, but they don't want your help. They need help, and you offer it, but they don't want your help. No, thank you. No, thank you. You try. You try to care. You try to love them. You try to help them. But they don't want your help. That's what being rejected is all about. Jesus was despised and rejected. He wasn't lifted up and rejecting. He didn't come that way. He didn't do that. He came and did what He was supposed to do. Helped people. Loved people. Taught people. And guess what? Did everything they asked for Him to do to help them. Never turned down anyone that asked for help from Him. And what did they do? They crucified Him. They rejected Him. And now, today, the holy, the teachers, reject everybody who doesn't agree with me. Everybody's a teacher. Everybody knows the Bible. You live for Jesus, and you'll know what rejection's about. You live for yourself, and you'll know how to reject everybody else. It's all a big false cross. See, there's a real. It just amazes me sometimes how you just try to be honest. You try to be open. And the more open you are and the more honest you are. And that's what we thought. That's what I always thought we wanted. But the more honest and the more open you are and the more receiving you are, the more rejected you are. To watch someone, you just tell someone simply, this is very simple, this is true, this is the way it is. And they'll go and believe someone that lies to them 99.9% of the time over that. People can't stand honesty. They can't stand light. They can't stand truth. And some charlatan, all painted up, looking like something else, just but telling the biggest pack of lies you ever heard, and the people will just flock to them. That's why there's got to, people got to watch all the time about being deceived. Because there's nice, little old nice people just out there all the time just selling you something. It isn't the guy that's just open and bold that's trying to trick you. It's the guy that comes talking real nice and trying to help you out. Just trying to do, I'm on your side. I'm looking for you. I'm looking out for you. Here's how I can help you. And people get fleeced every day by nice people. The devil don't come looking like a red horned monster. He comes in the form of just a nice, sweet, just a kind, here, let me help you. Let me help you. People build these false crosses. You know what? Another thing, people, I've seen people that just talk about, despise the wealth of this country. Just hate it. I mean, they just think, oh, how wicked this country is because it's prosperous. And just denounce it. And they're not going to work because this country, we're not going to get caught up in all of that. And then they just mooch and beg and just live lavishly off of the excess of the very thing they hate. It's phony. It's false. Doesn't mean all of it's right. But if you're going to be poor, be poor. Work. Don't gripe about all everybody's prosperity and then just mooch off everything they throw away. That's as phony as it gets. You're going to be poor. Be poor because you give it away. Be poor because you're working with your hands and helping other people. It's so easy to have the appearance of a master or of a great one, but so difficult to be a disciple. Just to be a disciple. People call and then say, I've learned, but I've missed it. What do I do? You be a disciple. Instead of learning theology, learn how to be a disciple. Learn how to learn. Plant yourself under somebody. Don't mean just be a pest and be under their feet all the time, but sit back and listen. Like I said, that whatever business you're in, whatever thing you do, whatever you're trying to learn, sit back and shut up. Open your ears. Shut your mouth. You can learn a lot. Wisdom. God says, ask for it and I'll give it to you. You're not just going to go out and dig it up because you read a lot of books. You're not going to dig it up because you spend 12 hours a day studying. You learn wisdom by living it. You learn wisdom by living it out. You learn wisdom by watching other people that are doing it and listening to them. You learn how to let God be God. Let God be the judge. And you learn how to accept people where they're at. And you learn when you get rejected. You learn when you're despised. You learn when you're overlooked. When some usurper comes along and takes your place. When some usurper comes along and takes the place that's yours. It appears like you got left behind. But that's when you learn to be a disciple. A disciple is a discipline. Isn't that what matters anyway? To learn those real things? It's not promotion that gains you anything. It's learning to be a disciple that gains, that is gained. Jesus chose disciples, learners. And after they learned a little bit, and after he was gone, he said, go make more learners. Go find more disciples. You'll find a lot of people that'll want to teach. It's amazing how many contacts we've come across. And boy, for a while they just sound so just ready to learn. They're just sick of the world. They're sick of their situation. They're sick of their church. They're sick of everything. Have no fellowship. And they just want to learn. And you talk to them about 3, 4, 5, sometimes a year. Sometimes 2 years, sometimes 3 years, and pretty soon they quit being a disciple. And they're trying to ride their little horse, their little hobby horse, their little doctrine horse, ride over you. Not many people just want to be a disciple. Not many people just want to be ridden over. They want to be on top doing the riding. Rejecting, isolating, separating, instead of being rejected, isolated, and separated. Be a disciple, and all those cross things will come upon you. You don't have to create it yourself. If you create it yourself, it's worth just exactly that. Your own creation. And if you don't know what that's worth, it's zip. Zero. Nothing. But your own creation.
Day by day, and with each passing moment,